or picked up one of these note sheets. Do you guys have these? Maybe, maybe not. My lovely wife will be glad to pass those out. So did everybody get one? Oh, we're covered. Everybody got one. So there you go. Oh, Ellie needs one. Just raise your hand real nice and high. All right. And if you need one of those, she will bring them by. All right. Excellent. Thank you. Appreciate that. All righty. Well, today is Thanksgiving, obviously, or Thanksgiving Eve, and we're celebrating Thanksgiving tomorrow. And, you know, Thanksgiving is not meant to be just a once-a-year event, but Thanksgiving is meant to be a lifestyle. Would you agree with that? And today, tonight, I'm going to take a few minutes, and I want to talk about something honestly, I believe it could be life-changing. I believe this. Anytime you open the Word of God with a hungry heart, God can do something very significant and life-changing in your life. Do you believe that? And so tonight, we'll just take some time, and we're going to look at what God's Word says. We're going to talk about something called radical gratitude, and we're going to unpackage that for a little bit. But I really believe that if we get a hold of this, it can change your perspective, it can change your life, it can change your emotions, and it can actually change you physically in the sense that it can bring healing to your body. Do you know that medical doctors have verified that an attitude of gratitude, giving thanks, having a thankful heart, can actually transform your body in certain ways physically. It can bring health to your body. Amen to that? Do you know any other emotion that can do that? Anger can destroy a lot of things. Bitterness can eat away at you. But gratitude, thanksgiving, can actually change your life. And so tonight we're going to talk about radical gratitude. Look at a few verses. Use the word radical for a reason. Now, some people misunderstand the word radical. Sometimes we think it means being a fanatic or fanatical, but it's really not that. Radical actually means from the root or to have deep roots. If radical means going back to your roots or having deep roots in your life. And the Bible talks a whole lot about how important it is for us to have deep roots in our life, to have our life rooted in God or our life rooted in Christ. Ephesians tells us that our roots should grow deep down in the marvelous soil of God's love. Because if our life is not rooted, we're not going to last, right? I mean, Jesus told the parable, he said, listen, if you don't have roots in your life, you're not going to last. You're going to give up. And I think a lot of people know what it's like to have a feeling of wanting to give up, right? We've all been there. And even this time of year, Thanksgiving, Christmas, right around this time of year, it should be, obviously a happy time of year, but a lot of people are so stressed at this time of year, and they feel like giving up, and there's all kind of family and financial and stress and a lot of things going on. And the Bible tells us that what we need is roots in our life. So we're going to talk about that and how we can be rooted in God and how that can result in overflowing gratitude in our lives. There's a few verses we're going to look at today. First one's in Jeremiah chapter 17. I told you on Sunday morning a while back that, man, I was in my devotional time, I was reading Jeremiah. That was just my kind of my devotional that YouVersion was giving me for that month. And I tell you, God began to speak to me in so many different places. This is one of the verses here, radical gratitude. Jeremiah chapter 17 says this, but blessed are those who trust in the Lord and have made the Lord their hope and confidence. That's powerful, isn't it? We're putting our trust in God, not in people, not in man, not on who's in the White House or who's not in the White House, not on the economy or how things are going. We can put our trust in a lot of different things if we're honest with ourselves. But he says, blessed is the man who puts their trust in the Lord and have made him, the Lord, hope and confidence. And here's what it says. They are like trees planted along a riverbank. I love this picture. With roots that reach deep down into the water. Isn't that powerful? You think of a tree that's planted by the riverbank and those roots are grown deep down and they are gaining all the nutrients and sustenance that river provides. So that tree is going to be strong. It's going to be healthy. It says this, such trees are not bothered by the heat or worried by long months of drought. Their leaves stay green and they never stop producing fruit. Boy, I love that image. A couple blessings there. It says, number one, that such trees are not bothered by the heat. In other words, when it gets hot and when drought comes, that tree is going to survive easily because it has deep, deep roots. And that, when it talks about the heat, I oftentimes think of our lives when stress is bearing down on us and our lives are under the heat, you know, of stress. What happens to us when that, if we have roots, the Bible says, the verse here says that we won't be bothered by that stress, and we won't bothered by heat, it says, or worried by long months of drought. Man, stress and worry are two things that can really take us out of the game pretty quick, right? I mean, if I ask you how many of you feel stressed about something right now, I think all of us would probably raise our hand. How many of you feel worried about something in the future maybe? Yeah, we're all probably can understand what that feels like. But here's the deal. The Bible's telling us that when we have roots in our life, those things that normally cause stress and worry, and they're real issues that we face in our life, but they don't affect us like they normally would because we have something deeper in our life. We're rooted deeply in something. And then it says this, their leaves stay green and never stop producing fruit. That's a beautiful picture of the fruit that God wants from our lives. Now, going to the next verse here, Colossians chapter 2, it says, again, let your roots grow down, grow deep down into him, and let your lives be built on him. Then your faith will grow strong in the truth that you were taught, and you will overflow with thankfulness. Here is the result of being rooted in God and rooted in Christ and having that hope for our lives, is that the Bible says that there will be, we can experience an overflow of thankfulness in our life. When you're rooted in God, one of the things that's going to be produced in your life is there's going to be an overflow of thankfulness from your life. So if there's not an overflow of thankfulness in my life, I have to check my roots. I have to check my, make sure I'm staying rooted in God. And on the reverse of that, as we're being thankful to God, that in turn is going to deeply root us in Christ. Now, we're going to look at a key verse here that we're going to just launch a few things from, but I think is so important. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 18, here's what it says. It says, be thankful in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you who belong to Christ Jesus. How many of you heard that verse before? Let me unpackage it for a few moments, because this, I think if we get this, this is really, I believe, life transforming. As I was praying through this and thinking through this verse again, I've quoted it, you know, for a long time, many years. But to really understand, let me just unpackage it. It says, be thankful. So that's gratitude. That's having an attitude of gratitude, being thankful, being grateful. And then there's two key words. It says, in all. You might want to circle that on your outline. It's important to understand it. First of all, he's saying be thankful in all circumstances, but he's not saying be thankful for all circumstances. There's a big difference, isn't there? I've explained this before, but I want to just mention it again. He's not saying that we should be thankful for necessarily bad things that happen. If something bad happens, you know, somebody is tragically killed, it's not that we are to thank God for that, you know, thank God that happened. No, that would make God to be kind of crazy, wouldn't it? Because there's a lot of bad things that happen in this world that aren't the will of God. That's why Jesus taught us to pray, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Because God's will is perfectly done in heaven. God's will is not perfectly done on earth. And a lot of what happens on this earth, the bad things that do happen are a result of sin and bad choices and things that people do. And a lot of bad things happen. And this verse is not saying that we are to thank God for everything that happens, all the bad things and all the tragic things. But what this verse is saying, that even in those circumstances that are bad, we can thank God in those circumstances. Now, what it says, thank God in all, that means everything. That means every circumstance, nothing excluded, inclusive of everything. In all circumstances, thank God, for this is God's will for you who belong to Christ Jesus. Now, how do we do that? In all circumstances, how do we thank God? Well, here's why we can do that. Number one, God is in control. Do you agree with me on that? That God, you're in control. He is ultimately in control. He is sovereign God. I can trust that God is good. I can trust that even in bad things, God can work out good from those bad things. That no matter what's going on around me, no matter how discouraging my circumstances may feel, no matter how badly things may be caving in, or I feel they're caving in, I can thank God in that, because I know beyond those circumstances, God, you're ultimately in control. I'm trusting you. You are sovereign God. And and you can actually bring good out of this somehow, some way, because you are God, right? That's reason to give thanks to God in all circumstances. And I love what it says here. It says that this is God's will for you. You don't ever have to worry or wonder, God, what is your will? When we talk about the will of God, a lot of times, or most of the time, we think in terms of God direction, or location. God, what do you want me to do with my life? You know, who should I marry? What job should I take? Where should I live? Where should I move? All these questions that have to do with, direction and location in our life. God, what do you want me to do? What is your will for my life? But I love this verse because it makes it so simple for us. God shows us exactly what his will is, and it's something that we can all do at any time. In all circumstances, give thanks. You always know that you are in the will of God when you are choosing to have gratitude in choosing to thank God. You're in the will of God. And why this is so important, because I think sometimes we get so worried about, God, what do you want me to do? Where do you want me to go? What am I supposed to do here? What direction am I supposed to take? How is this going to work out? We get so wrapped up and worried about that part of God's will that we miss out on what God wants to do right here and right now. And what happens when we choose in circumstances to say, God, I'm going to just give you thanks today because you are God. Because you are sovereign, because you are Lord, because you are a good, good Father, and I can trust you, and you're working all things together for the good, and you've given me all these promises, God, and when I begin to thank God, what happens is that cultivates the presence of God in my life and in my circumstances right there. And as I cultivate God's presence and I give thanks and I begin to declare praise to God, all those worries and all those concerns, well, they start to dissipate. And I can just enjoy God's presence right now, right here, and I can begin to hear from God about what he wants me to do or where he wants me to go in his time when he wants to tell me that. You understand? So I feel like God says, you take care of number one, just give thanks, and I'll take care of number two, three, four, you know? Let me put it on a relational level here. Jamie will come home and she'll begin to talk to me, you know, but my mind is preoccupied with a lot of things that I'm maybe concerned, worried about, things I have to do, and she's unloading the story, you know, of the day. And she says, did you hear what I said? And I know when she says that I'm busted right there. Like, I know that, okay, she knows that my mind is somewhere else right now, and I didn't really hear everything that she was telling me. And so I say, I run that by me again, you know? And I try to then focus, you know. And the issue is this. I'm thinking about a lot of things. And when we're distracted by a lot of other things, we miss out on the conversation in the here and now, right now. Does that make sense? And so when I choose to give thanks, I believe God is very strategic. He's saying, this is the will of God for your life, to give thanks. Because when we choose to be thankful in our circumstances, that invites the presence of God, and all those other worries and distractions kind of get cleared out because we are giving God honor and praise that he deserves. And I invite God's presence in that moment. And when God's presence is there and I am tuned into his presence, then I can begin to hear what God wants me to hear about 2, 3, and 4 of God's will and what he has for me. Does that make sense? See, this is very strategic. God says, be thankful in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you who belong to Jesus Christ. We never have to worry about wondering what God's will is. Now, here's what I want to do. Just mention a few things. Why gratitude is always the will of God. And then I want to talk about the benefit here for a few moments. So we're going to go through these pretty quickly. So on your outline, why gratitude is always God's will. Number one, you can write this in, is that because it always honors God. It honors God. When we choose to give God praise, when we choose to worship God, to say, God, thank you for what you've done, and thank you, God, for who you are, that honors our Father. Listen, when we say thank you to people, that honors people, doesn't it? Tomorrow after we have dinner and I say, Jamie, thank you for this beautiful meal that you prepared for all of us today, that honors her, right? I'm going to do that too. And she'll remind me if I forget. No, no, she won't. But we honor people when we say thank you, right? And when we say thank you to God, we honor God. We thank him for what he's done, right? We thank God for what he's done. God, I thank you for all that you've done. Think of what God has provided for you. Think of how good God has been. Think about the fact that your sins are forgiven and you have hope and peace for your life. I mean, just think of what God has done. But I want to tell you, you can take this thanksgiving or this gratitude to another level where you just don't thank God for who he is. I'm sorry, you don't just thank God for what he's done, but you thank him for who he is. I mean, if we thank people just because they do stuff for us, sooner or later, they're going to think, well, you're just thanking me because I do stuff for you, right? But when you can begin to take that gratitude to another level and honor them and thank them for who they are as a person, that you appreciate them as a person, that's different, isn't it? You honor them in a different way, and our thanks to God has to be that way. We thank him for what he's done, absolutely, but we take it to the next level, and we say, God, I choose to honor you because of who you are. You are a great God. You are so consistently loving when I'm inconsistent. You are always good, even when I'm not. Your love never fails, and we just can go on and begin to thank him for who he is. I think it's important. Here's what I'd say is just maybe an action step. Is before your feet hit the floor when you wake up in the morning, rattle off at least 5 or 10 things that you are thankful to God for. That'll change the atmosphere of your life right there. You want to go from a bad day to a good day. You're all stressed out about everything that's going on. Listen, you just take 5, not even that, take 2 or 3 minutes and begin to say, God, I thank you that I'm breathing today. I thank you for your goodness today. I thank you for what you have given me today. That is life-changing. So number one, it honors God. Here's another thing that's important. It builds relationships. If you want to grow in a relationship, you want to grow in closeness with a friend, with a spouse, with family member, whoever, you just begin to express appreciation. It does wonders for any relationship. Here's what happens. We oftentimes take people for granted, don't we? It's easy to do that. And that's why we have to build in this intentional expression of gratitude. And that's why the Bible tells us to build one another up and to encourage one another and love one another and be grateful for one another. Why? Because we got to build in intentional gratitude, or else we can begin to take each other for granted, our closest relationships. But when you express appreciation and gratitude and do it very intentionally, I want to tell you, it builds closeness in relationships. So this is very important. It builds relationships. It builds our relationship with God. I'm going to keep going pretty quickly here, so follow along. This is an important one. It develops my faith. I love this about gratitude. What gratitude does is that it actually builds faith. And here's when we go back to this, give thanks in all circumstances. You know, anybody could be thankful when we're on the mountaintop. When God's blessing, provision is there, the bank account's full, the refrigerator's full, everything's working good in life. Man, it's easy to be thankful, isn't it, right? But when we're in the valley, and when things aren't working out, the bank account isn't that full, the refrigerator is kind of empty, and there's not a lot of paycheck left at the end of the month, and all these things, when you're in the valley, that's when it's hard to be thankful, isn't it? But I want to tell you, it's in that valley, it's in that place that our faith is built when we learn to give thanks in all circumstances. It's what builds our faith. I love this verse in an Old Testament minor prophet named Habakkuk, all right? You may say, who's Habakkuk? I never heard of him. Maybe you've never heard of him. Here's why I'm quoting from Habakkuk today, because when you get to heaven and Habakkuk comes up to you and says, hey, what did you think of my book? Right? I don't want you to be embarrassed, all right? Say, I didn't even know you had a book. I didn't know you wrote anything in the Bible. That's a goofy name. Where'd you get that, you know? When Habakkuk comes up to you in heaven, you can say, man, good job. I loved what you wrote. You give him a high five, all right? But I love Habakkuk. It's amazing little couple chapters in the Old Testament. He's a prophet, you know, and most prophets bring God's word to man. But Habakkuk is different. He has all these questions and these complaints even. He's got these just questions of faith. God, why don't you answer prayer? I don't understand why you do certain things, God. And why is this happening this way, God? And why all this pain? And he had all these questions that you and I have had. And he brings those questions to God. And God answers Habakkuk, maybe not in the way that he thinks. He wanted to be answered, but God answers. It satisfies Habakkuk's heart. And Habakkuk in chapter 3 writes this incredible anthem of praise and a declaration of faith. And we're going to look at a few of those verses. Here's what he says. He says, even though the fig tree has no blossoms and there are no grapes on the vines, even though the olive crops fail and the fields lie empty and barren, even though the flocks die in the field and the cattle barns are empty, wow, that sounds pretty bad, doesn't it? I mean, if you stop right there, you say, that's depressing. Everything's not working out. And if you are a farmer and this is your livelihood, this is a really, really bad year. This is like things are looking bad, and I don't know if I'm even going to survive. Even though, circle those two words, even though, but here's what he says, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. In my notes, I circled even though, and I circled yet, and I put a little line to connect them. In other words, we have to have an even though yet faith. Listen, even though circumstances are bad, even though I can't figure this thing out, even though things seem to be getting worse, even though I will rejoice in the Lord. And listen to what he says. I will be joyful in the Lord. That's gratitude. The God of my salvation, the sovereign Lord, he is in control, is my strength. He makes me as sure-footed as a deer able to tread upon the heights. It's an amazing thing that Habakkuk is saying. Hey, even though it's not working out, even though I don't understand everything, in this valley that I am currently in amidst really bad circumstances, yet I will praise God. I will trust in him, and he will be my strength. And I love this picture of a deer that goes up on the heights. Here's what he's saying. Even though the circumstances are bad in my life and things are not working out like I thought, I can live above those circumstances because my God is my source of strength and life. And he will raise me up. I love the even though yet type of faith. And that's where we need to have faith. You see, this type of gratitude, it produces that type of faith in our life. When we express gratitude in the midst of the difficulties, in all circumstances, if we can learn to give God praise and to give him thanks in the midst and trust him for who he is, that he is sovereign, that he is my Savior, that he will be my strength, and he will cause me to triumph over these circumstances because we're conquerors through Christ. Amen? Amen. Come on, you can do better than that. Amen? I'm going to preach until you get victory tonight. A couple more minutes, all right? Four, it serves others. Just want to mention this really quickly. Gratitude serves others. Here's the deal. I'm a minister, right? Because I'm a pastor. But guess what? You are a minister as well, all right? You're a minister. Bible says it. You're made for ministry, saved to serve. You have a ministry, and all of us have the ministry as ministers of the gospel to encourage and build one another up. And you are a minister, okay? And that means that you have the ministry of encouragement. And every time you choose to express gratitude in relationship, gratitude in the midst of difficult circumstances, listen, you are doing something extremely valuable, and you are bringing ministry to somebody that desperately needs it because you are expressing gratitude. Listen, we know the difference between appreciation and depreciation, right? When you buy a brand new car and drive it off the lot, it depreciates several thousand dollars. It goes down just like that, right? Crazy, right? But when you buy a house, most houses, if you had one for 10, 20, 30 years, it's going to do what? Appreciate in value. In other words, when something appreciates, it has value. And when you express appreciation, expressing appreciation to people, what it does is it says you are valuable. You're valuable. You add value and you add worth to people by just expressing gratitude. That's powerful. And what I've observed in life is most people need massive doses of encouragement just to survive day to day, right? You do and I do. We need encouragement. We need to encourage one another. And as we serve, this is why gratitude is, it's always the will of God because it honors God. It builds relationships. It develops my faith. It serves others. And here's another one quickly, is that it's a witness to unbelievers. When we are grateful and express gratitude, I want to tell you, that's different. I don't know if you've, you know, watched things maybe on the news and all that and with the world. Us as, quote, evangelicals, you know, we put ourselves all in that camp, I guess. we don't got the best reputation. I'll just say that sometimes. You know, we're looked at as, you know, harsh, critical, whatever. There's a lot of things. A lot of it's unfair, and I get that. But what I am saying here is that genuine gratitude, appreciation, giving thanks, all this, what this is, it is a beautiful witness to unbelievers into the world. Listen to this verse here in Philippians. It says, do everything without complaining and arguing. Wow, that's a good one, right? Let's stop right there and call it quits, right? No, let's do everything without complaining and arguing. And here's why. So that you may become blameless, pure children of God, without fault, in a crooked and deprived generation. That's our generation, crooked and deprived, in which you shine like stars in the universe. When we choose to be grateful and express gratitude to anybody and everybody, to God in the midst of our, when we are overflowing with gratitude, your life is a beautiful representation of Jesus Christ just because of gratitude. Amen to that? And so God has called us so that we can live in a way that makes the truth about God attractive when we express gratitude. All right, let's take a look at the last part or the back of the page here. And the benefits of radical gratitude. And we're going to give you these ideas here for a few moments, and then we're going to worship and head on home, all right? So number one, it keeps me in the will of God. This is just important, as I said. You don't have to doubt whether you're in the will of God. You'll be in the center of God's will all the time when we choose to give thanks, when we choose to embrace this radical gratitude in the midst of whatever we're going through. My first response is, God, I'm just going to say thank you. I am going to thank you, not for it necessarily, but in this, I am going to say thank you, God, because you're doing something. I may not understand it, and you will always be in the will of God. And here's the thing about giving thanks. The alternative to that, if in all things giving thanks is the will of God, the alternative is disobedience. If to give thanks is obeying God, to say I don't feel like giving thanks, you're basically saying I don't feel like obeying God. And last I checked, obeying God is not based on how I feel. Yeah, right? Obeying God is based on my volition and my choice and my will. I choose to obey the will of God, right? And so when I give thanks, hey, I may not feel like it. I'm not saying like, ooh, this is wonderful. I love this bad experience. No, I'm just saying that I am going to make a choice in my will to say, God, but God, I'm going to worship you. I'm going to praise you. I'm going to thank you for who you are and what you've done. Yeah, this storm is raging, but God, I will choose to give thanks to you for who. That's an act of the will, right? The alternative is disobedience and not to give thanks. And I want to walk away from disobedience. I want to walk in the will of God. So it keeps me in the will of God. Number two, it makes me better, not bitter. This is so important. One of the ways to deal with the bitterness that can oftentimes build up in our heart is just choosing to be grateful. Every one of us, listen, every one of us here has an excuse to be bitter. We all have an excuse. I didn't say a reason, but an excuse. We all have an excuse to be bitter because bad things have happened to us. People have treated us badly. We've been hurt and we've gone through difficulties. Every single one of us has an excuse to be bitter, but it's really not a reason. And you don't want to be bitter. You want to be better. And when we choose gratitude, we are saying, I'm going to be grateful and not allow this bitterness to linger in my heart. Now, how does this work? Because, listen, what we have to do is let go and we have to forgive. Let go and forgive and do it on a regular basis. And how we do this is, how do we forgive? Well, God, the Word says that we forgive just as Christ has forgiven us. And here's what I realized, that the key to me forgiving and getting over hurts and the things that can linger in our heart and the bitterness, the key to this is to look at God and be grateful to Him for what He has done for me. When I look back at the cross and that my sins are forgiven, that every offense and every sin that the Bible said separated me from God, everything that I've ever done wrong and sin, God says, forgiven. I am so grateful for God's grace and God's forgiveness, amen? Because my sin made me an enemy of God, the Bible says. It separated me from God, made me a recipient for eternity away from God in hell. But I've been forgiven by God. And when I choose to remember how much I have been forgiven by God, I can more easily forgive other people, right? And so this is the key here, what we have to do. we have to let it go. We have to forgive. And you know, when we forgive sometimes, or when we've been hurt, there's going to be a wound, and that wound heals. And when we choose to release bitterness, when we choose to release forgiveness and forgive, release bitterness and forgive, the wound begins to heal. But oftentimes there's still scar tissue left, isn't there? I mean, when you cut yourself and that wound heals, there's going to be a scar normally. And sometimes we have emotional scars that we carry in life. And God has healed the hurt. He's healed the hurt, but there's a scar. And every time you see that scar, let it just be a reminder that you have a good God who has healed you, a good God who has forgiven you, a good God who has done something great in your life. So number makes us bitter. Number three, two more here real quick. It defeats the devil. I love this one. Listen, the devil has a terrible plan for your life. God has a wonderful plan for your life. And the devil will do anything he can to get you off of God's good plan for your life. He knows what buttons to push. He knows how to irritate you and how to make you mad. He knows when your anger is going to explode. The devil knows what buttons to push. He really does. But here's what you can do. When you choose to give thanks, and when you choose to give God praise and thank him in any and all circumstances, you knock the devil off of his game, and he has no idea what to do. And he immediately stops the attack. I'm going to tell you, you want to have victory over spiritual warfare and over spiritual attack in your life. Just begin to declare the praise of God. The enemy cannot take it. He doesn't know what to do with that. And it completely throws him off the game. And you get the victory in that moment and in that season. That's how you put the enemy down, just like that. Well, I love that one. It defeats the devil. Number three here. Number four, it causes miracles. It causes miracles. This is what I want to end with here tonight. To me, this is so exciting. I want you to catch this, that when you give thanks to God, you're actually priming the atmosphere for God to do something miraculous. Listen, we thank God for the things that he has done, and we should. Thank God for what you've done. But when we thank God in all circumstances, and where the rubber really meets the road here, is when we thank God for the things that he hasn't done yet. And we thank God for what he is going to do. Anybody can thank God for what he's done, and we should, but it takes faith to thank God for the things that he hasn't done yet. And here's why thanksgiving is so important, because when you give thanks to God, not only for what he's done, but for what he's going to do, you begin to prime the atmosphere for God to do something supernatural. And you begin to prime that atmosphere for God to do a miracle. That's what this verse is saying. Therefore, I tell you, whatever you ask for in prayer, it says, believe that you have received it. Now, believing that we have received it, when we choose to thank God for what he is going to do, that is believing that you have received it and it will be yours. When we choose to express thanks to God. And how does this work? Well, here's how it works. You have your circumstances, but you're believing God for something different. And so you hold on to some promises that God has given you about your life and your circumstances. And you begin to declare those promises over your life and over your circumstances. You go, God, I thank you for what you're going to do in my family or my marriage or in my children or in my church or in my ministry. I thank you, God, for what you're going to do in the future. And I thank you, God, for what's going to happen. You can begin to thank God in advance for what he's going to do. That takes faith. And I tell you, you can do it. And it primes the atmosphere for God to do something. I'm excited about thanking God for what he's going to do in your life. And thanking God for what he's going to do in this church. And thanking God for new ministries that are going to be birthed that we don't even know. Thanking God for people that are going to come in those doors that are hurting and broken and need life. I am thanking God for what he's going to do in the future. Because I want to prime the atmosphere for God to do the miraculous. And you can do the same thing. Don't live under your circumstances. Live above those circumstances. And I'm not saying deny reality. No, live in reality. That's what Habakkuk did. Hey, this isn't happening. That isn't happening. But yet I will trust in God and I will believe in God. Begin to thank him for what he's going to do. And we're going to spend a moment to do that tonight. And almost done, but I want to show you Jesus doing this. John chapter 11, Lazarus died. Been dead for 4 days. Jesus shows up. They cry and say, Jesus, if you would have been here a couple days ago, Lazarus wouldn't have died. And Jesus says, listen, I am the resurrection and life. Whoever lives and believes in me, though he dies, will live. Do you believe this? Martha said, yes. Took him to the tomb. He said, roll away the stone. They said, he stinketh. He's been dead 4 days. We can't roll away the stone. He's going to stink. Jesus said, roll away the stone. And then Jesus said these words. So they took away the stone. Then Jesus looked up and said, Father, I thank you that you have heard me. I knew that you always hear me, but I said this for the benefit of the people standing here, that they may believe that you sent me. What Jesus was essentially saying is, Father, I thank you that you heard me. In other words, I thank you for what you're going to do. Jesus thanked the Father for the resurrection of Lazarus before he resurrected Lazarus from the dead. And he did it for our benefit, so that we can learn to give thanks for God for what he's going to do in the future. Amen? And believe for that to take place. Radical gratitude. It's getting down to the nitty-gritty. And it's saying, in all circumstances, I will enact my will. I'm going to wait till I feel like it. No. Don't wait till you feel like doing anything. Obey God now. And do it. And say, I will declare, I will give you praise. I thank you for what you've done. I thank you for who you are. The devil is going to flee your family, your situation. He don't know what to do with that. He's out of here. And you have a victory that comes into your life. You prime the atmosphere for God to do the miraculous. Amen? Why don't you stand with me? And our worship team's going to come, and I want us to just spend a moment, a couple moments before we go from this place. And I know everybody's preparing for a big day tomorrow, and may you just have a blessed day. I hope you have a blessed day. But here's what I want. I want this word. I really hope that something here tonight, this word, will transform something in you right now. That God will do something in a spiritual realm around you. Don't just hear the word. Be a doer of the word. Get up tomorrow morning, say, doggone it, I'm going to thank God for a good couple minutes before my feet hit that floor. I'm going to try to do this. God, I thank you for what have I done? Well, I'm breathing today. Thank you that I'm alive, God. That's a good place to start. Oh, I got a roof over my head. Hey, I got a roof. Thank you, God, I got a roof, you know? I mean, you can go on. Thank you, God, for who you are, that you're my God, you're my Father, you never leave me, you never forsake me. Wow. Spread some appreciation to people. Don't take people for granted tomorrow. Just love on them and appreciate them. And believe for God to do something. Thank him for what he's going to do. Can you get a vision for your future? Doesn't matter how old you are, what your future looks like even. Get a vision for what God wants to do in your marriage, in your home, with your kids, with your ministry, with your life, whatever it is. God has a plan. He has a big plan for you. Let's thank him for that, what he's going to do in the future. Amen? Come on, let's lift up our hands if you're comfortable doing that. Your face towards heaven. Just say it right now. Say, thank you, God. Say it out loud. Come on. Thank you, God. On this Thanksgiving Eve, we say, thank you, God, for your goodness. Thank you for who you are, God. You're our Father, good, caring, loving Father. Thank you that you're working all things, God, for our good. Thank you for what you have in store for us in the future, God. Your word says it's a good plan, not a bad plan, a good plan not to harm us. God, we can have confidence and trust in who you are, God. We commit our lives to you right now. God, for anybody that may be struggling, holding on with a thread and may feel like they don't have any hope, God, I pray by the power of your Holy Spirit, you will breathe hope in this place. And this will be a day that we mark, God, on this November night, 2016, where you did something significant in our lives, God. God, for everybody here, I rebuke the enemy in Jesus' name. And every attempt that he makes to steal, kill, and destroy, I command you to loose your hold and flee our presence now. And I ask, Holy Spirit, that your presence would flood over us this day and tomorrow and this weekend in Jesus' name. Oh, God, let life come. Something's being birthed here today. I believe it. And I'm asking you, God, to do something significant in our lives. Each one of us, we believe for the great things that you're going to do. And we thank you in advance, God, for how your favor and blessing and power is going to be poured out in the future here at our church and in our homes. In Jesus' name, let's just sing this song together and declare it together.